By the feast of the Epiphany, I could read as well as a clever 12-year-old, or so Beoka said, and that was good enough for Alfred, who did not, after all, require me to read theological texts, but only to decipher his orders, should he ever decide to give me any. And that, of course, was the heart of the matter. Leofric and I wanted to command troops, to which end I had endured Beoka's teaching, and had come to appreciate the holy Swithun's skill with trout, seagulls and broken eggs. But the granting of those troops depended on the king, and in truth, there were not many troops to command. The West Saxon army was in two parts. The first and smaller part was composed of the king's own men, his retainers who guarded him and his family. They did nothing else because they were professional warriors, but they were not many, and neither Leofric nor I wanted anything to do with them, because joining the household guard would mean staying in close proximity to Alfred, which in turn would mean going to church. The second part of the army, and by far the larger, was the third, and that in turn was divided among the shires. Each shire, under its ealdorman and reeve, was responsible for raising the third, that was supposedly composed of every able-bodied man within the shire boundary. That could raise a vast number of men. Hamptonshire, for example, could easily put 3,000 men under arms, and there were 9 shires in Wessex capable of summoning similar numbers. Yet apart from the troops who served the ealdormen, the third was mostly composed of farmers. Some had a shield of sorts, spears and axes were plentiful enough, but swords and armour were in short supply. And worse, the third was always reluctant to march beyond its shire borders, and even more reluctant to serve when there was work to be done on the farm. At Esk's Hill, the one battle the West Saxons had won against the Danes, it had been the household troops who had gained the victory. Divided between Alfred and his brother, they had spearheaded the fighting, while the third, as it usually did, looked menacing, but only became engaged when the real soldiers had already won the fight. The third, in brief, was about as much use as a hole in a boat's bottom, but that was where Leofric could expect to find men. Except there were those ship's crews getting drunk in Hampton's winter taverns, and those were the men Leofric wanted. And to get them, he had to persuade Alfred to relieve Hacker of their command. And luckily for us, Hacker himself came to Chippenham and pleaded to be released from the fleet. He prayed daily, he told Alfred, never to see the ocean again. "I get seasick, Lord." Alfred was always sympathetic to men who suffered sickness, because he was so often ill himself. And he must have known that Hacker was an inadequate commander of ships. But Alfred's problem was how to replace him. To which end he summoned 4 bishops, 2 abbots, and a priest to advise him. And I learned from Beoka that they were all praying about the new appointment.
"Do something," Leofric snarled at me.
"What the devil am I supposed to do?"
"You have friends who are priests. Talk to them. Talk to Alfred Ursling."
He rarely called me that anymore, only when he was angry. "He doesn't like me," I said. "If I ask him to put us in charge of the fleet, he'll give it to anyone but us. He'll give it to a bishop, probably."
"Hell,"
Leofric said. In the end, it was Enfled who saved us. The redhead was a merry soul and had a particular fondness for Leofric, and she heard us arguing and sat down, slapped her hands on the table to silence us, and then asked what we were fighting about. Then she sneezed because she had a cold.
"I want this useless Ursling," Leofric jerked his thumb at me, "to be named commander of the fleet. Only he's too young, too ugly, too horrible and too pagan. And Alfred's listening to a pack of bishops who'll end up naming some wizened old fart who doesn't know his prow from his prick."
"Which bishops?"
Enfled wanted to know. "Shirebernan, Wintonchester, Winburnan and Exonchester," I said. She smiled, sneezed again, and 2 days later I was summoned to Alfred's presence. It turned out that the Bishop of Exonchester was partial to redheads.